Shalom everyone, and today we are studying Parashat Naso, the book of Bamidbar, Numbers. And the parasha is starting in chapter 4, verse 21. What is Naso? And by the way, this is the longest parasha in the whole Torah, although a big chunk of it is the offerings of the chieftains of the tribes, the 12 tribes, and they're repetitive, so it takes a huge chunk of the parasha because each one, there's a detailed description of what they brought as an offering to the tabernacle. However, this is also part of it that we're going to see. So this parasha is continuing naturally Parasha, the previous Parasha Bamidbar. And there's another thing, Bamidbar and Naso usually come along with the holiday of Shavuot. One very important thing, in Parashat Naso of the Zohar, you have the Idra Rabbah, which is the Idra Rabbah, which means the Great Assembly. So everybody knows the story about Rabbi Shimon and his son Rabbi Elazar running away from the Romans, hiding in a cave, and after 13 years, they're coming out of the cave, and then they gather 8 more great sages with them to another cave, and they sit over there and they reveal the secrets of the Zohar first time in public, which means 10 men. And the revelations are amazing. This is maybe the core teachings of the Zohar. Core teachings of the Zohar. It's called the Idra Rabbah. And after the Great Assembly. And it says like the revelation of the Idra Rabbah, which means the main body of the Zohar, the main secrets of the Zohar, is equal to the revelation of Mount Sinai. Therefore, Parashat Idra Rabbah, the Idra Rabbah, which is a kind of a parasha by itself, a chapter by itself in the Zohar, it is brought in Parashat Naso because it aligns with the holiday of Shavuot, because we know that on Shavuot, Mount Sinai revelation, all 4 layers of the Torah have been revealed to the Israelite nation. The problem is that, you know, it's so easy to forget the spiritual. Why? The physical needs of every human being are very, very present, very demanding, which means if you're not going to eat for a day or two, you're going to feel that, you're going to feel the punishment for neglecting your body. You're going to feel that severely. But if you're not really meditating and connecting to spiritual wisdom, most people won't feel so much the lack. And in order to feel the lack, you really have to work really hard for that. So what's left? That basically we do, most of us, we just take care of the bare necessities, which is food, a shelter, you know, all that stuff. And then if we have time left, we dedicate that time to the soul. Okay? So anyway, if you live in today's world, there's always some more money to make, some more food to make, some more like physical stuff that you have to take care of. And today, let's say if our 100 years ago, most people lived in small little homes. Today, our homes are much bigger than our grandparents' homes. And that means to take care of that home, plumbing, Wi-Fi, all of that. There's so much more work to take care of, and not to talk about all the other like bills and bills and bills. They're also like more than 100 years ago, how many bills people had to pay. Okay, so, and then you neglect your soul. What happens then? So here, Parashat Naso, as we said, that continues Parashat Bamidbar. And Parashat Bamidbar, we said something very important. There is a verb that repeated, and it is essentially essential verb to understand Parashat Bamidbar was Naso. And he, not just it repeats itself, it is the name of the parasha. And Naso means to raise. To raise what? Naso et rosh, raise the head. What I mean to raise somebody's head? It means, how do you raise somebody's head? When you give a person a meaning, a goal, a purpose, a duty that he can be proud about. These are things that raise people's heads. And here it continues. And although it is starting with raising the head of Bnei Gershon, Bnei Gershon was one family of the Levites. And it speaks about the work of the Levites and the special job that was given to each family of the Levites. So why the parasha starts with the Levites? Why not starting with the Kohen? Because the Kohanim were in much higher importance. Although we have to remember that the most important work of the Kohanim, blessing the people, it is or can be found in this parasha. Now, the blessing of the Kohanim, just a second. Okay, we can find it in Parashat Naso, the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24. The three verses of the blessing of the Kohanim. Why is that being brought later on? And by the way, today, 2025, we did not find Torah from the time of Moses. We didn't find yet. We did not find even the time from the time of King David or King Solomon. We found archaeology, found the earliest text of the Torah was found in a valley west of the old city of Jerusalem, just facing the walls of the old city. And in a cave, a burial cave, and they found over there an amulet made of silver, rolled silver. And finally, when they were able to unroll the silver, they found on that amulet the three verses of Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the Kohanim, which is the text that I just said in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24, 25, 26. Okay? Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. God will bless you and will keep guard you. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichonecha. God will shine his face to you and redeem you. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And God will raise, again, the same verb of Naso. God will raise his face upon you and will put for you peace. Shalom. Okay? Which is one of the, as I said, this is the most ancient verse that we found till today, that archaeology found till today, and it was written in ancient Hebrew. So why that comes later? Because this topic is so important. Why not opening the parasha with that? So let's cover the main topics of this long parasha. First of all is raising the family of Gershon among the Levites. And their duties in the temple. Then you have in chapter 5 another topic, which is whoever has leprosy should be removed from the camp because the camp must be holy. That's chapter 5 in the beginning. Why? Because the camp should stay pure. Then, few verses later, verse 5 already in chapter 5, and it says something again, another topic, which is very important. Here we spoke about the purity of the camp, and now it's speaking about the personal purity. And it says, and God speak to Moses, saying, Daber bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, a man or a woman, ish o isha ki asu mikol chatot ha'adam, a man or a woman that will commit one of all the sins of humans, and the word is very important, of limol ma'al. Limol ma'al means betrayal. Limol ma'al ba'adonai, to betray God. And they had carried the guilt. Chatatam, they should confess their sin, and then they should atone for that sin. So we are talking about teshuva, which means in a shallow English, repentance. In Hebrew, teshuva means returning back to God, or returning the hate to God. We're going to expand if we have time. And that's few verses, a very important topic, teshuva, which means you betrayed your purpose. You betrayed your, it's like you've been assigned, naso. Till here, Parashat Bamidbar and naso was about assigning every person a duty that will raise his position, which means I am important. I have a duty. I'm responsible. I have something to carry and to raise for all of humanity. Okay, so now you betray that, you can correct it, which is very important because the way even it's being said, it doesn't say it doesn't say if they sin as they sin, which means that's the saying that that the verbs are saying that there won't be a righteous person that won't sin. We're humans, and we'll explain that in this parasha too. That people do sin, which means do go astray off the road, betray their purpose, betray their calling. But there's a correction. And here comes in chapter 5, verse 11, another story. And that's a story of a woman that she betrays her husband. And let's say, but what if the husband does not have a proof? Okay, he just feels jealousy and jealousy. So he will bring her to the Kohen, and the Kohen will take holy water in, that's verse 17 in chapter 5, and he will take in that holy water in a clay vessel, and he put a little bit of the soil of the Mishkan and put that into the water. What else? And he will write the name of God also on a piece of parchment backwards and put it inside that water. And then he will give the woman this water to drink. Now, and then it says, and the Kohen will warn the woman that you can admit or just drink the water. And if she really betrayed her husband, she will swell and everybody will see. And if she did not betray her husband, he just had jealousy. You know, sometimes we have that. You know, how many stories were told about that, about her husband that is suspecting her, his wife, that she betrayed him and she did not. What a tragedy, and so on and so forth. Here, you just take it to the temple. If she did not betray him, what does it say? First of all, she won't swell, everybody will see, and then she will get pregnant. The next topic is chapter 6. It's about the Nazir. Nazir, translated today modern English into a monk, but that's not the story. Nazir is a man or a woman that makes a vow not to drink wine or any kind, any grapes or any derivatives of wine and grapes, okay? And would not cut the hair. Then the vow should be limited in time. And after, and you ask the question, well, why should somebody do something like this? And it's considered to be this vow, is considered to be a way. So I'm talking, this is Nazir, it's not a monk, because that person still can get married, have sex, with their, you know, like marital relationships, have children. It's just the vow not to drink wine and eat anything or drink anything that is coming from the vine. Then at the end of the limited time of that vow, he has to bring a sin offering. And the question is, why should he bring his, why is that a sin? And the answer is, God created you human beings to enjoy his creation. The moment you prevent yourself from enjoying God's creation, you are sinning to God. We were created, we humans, we were created for one purpose and one purpose alone, which is to enjoy God's light. This is it. We have to remember that. If you want a calling in few words, enjoy the light. That's it. Enjoy God's light. Three words. How? Oh, you have to take a responsibility, a job, whatever. There's a calling, but the focal point is always enjoying God's light. If you think that your calling is to be suffering and avoiding any kind of joy, you're making a big mistake, and that is considered to be sinful. Simply sinful, because you know, we say it many times. Rabbi Ashlag is teaching us. Ein noten ma she'en bo. Translation, you cannot give what you don't have, which means if you prevent yourself from enjoying God's light by always gathering all kinds of you abstain from wine, you abstain from good food, you abstain, you just simply find every day another thing. You're not doing, you're not enjoying from. You are sinning because now what you're going to enjoy from? Okay. If you're not seeing your main purpose as enjoying God's light, you're already by default in the on the wrong side. You're messing up everything. And that's very important because you're hurting the whole of creation by doing that. First of all, you have to remember we're here to be happy. And what happens if you're not happy? If you think that you should because you're sinful, or because you're a human being and you're full of impurity and you don't deserve anything, and therefore you're not supposed to be happy. Unhappy people, as we said, you cannot grieve what you don't have. Unhappy people, people are full of pain and misery, and they're always focusing on the shame and the pain. They're not nice to other people. They hurt the whole of humanity. How do you heal that? The Zohar is giving us the answer. So that's about the Nazir. And after that, we have the blessing of the Kohanim. Why is it doing? What is that doing over here? We will see. As we said, that's chapter 6, verses 24 till 26. After that, chapter 7, Vayi beYom Kalot Moshe Lahakim et HaMishkan. On that day that Moses completed establishing the Mishkan, and then he anointed, which means he put the ointment, the holy ointment, on the Mishkan and every part of the Mishkan and its vessels. Now we have a very important expression, Kalot Moshe. The word Kalot over here is weird. And the Zohar is saying it's you can use it, but it's very weird, the grammatical context over here. But kalot, whoever knows a little bit Hebrew, kalot means brides. So it's kind. Moses is basically anointing the Mishkan to make basically the creation, the nation of Israel, and the Mishkan, the bride, and God is the groom. What's the purpose of the Mishkan? What's the purpose of operating the Mishkan? What's the purpose of the Torah? To connect in union the heaven and the earth, God and his creation, Shochen, the dweller, and the Shechinah, the dwelling. This is basically the main purpose, the union between the light and the vessel, the heavens and the earth, male and female. It's all about, that's why completing the structure, like as we read in Parashat in Bamidbar, the structure of 12 tribes, the Mishkan in the middle, the Levites around, the Kohanim working inside and giving their blessing, all of it with the Mishkan itself becoming one big bride, which means the vessel that can finally unite our world with the divine world, which is the purpose of humanity, to make this world divine. The purpose is not reaching the divine outside the body. You know, a lot of people, they're looking for the divine, so they do everything. They try to be, abstain from food, drinks, whatever, go away and go up. There's the easiest way is simply die. You leave the body with all the noise, and you go to God. So why we were born? We were born in this world, in this physical world with all its ailments and problems, so we can pull the divinity into this world. Not we are not here to run away from this world, to abstain from good food, wine, and all the pleasures of this world. We're here to sanctify it. That is the issue. The moment you leave your body, you have no noise anymore. The story is really clear. There's no free will. You cannot turn the darkness into light and the bitter into sweet. So what's the purpose? That's why we come into a physical body. We didn't come to make it easy. Okay. So now we have the offerings of the 12 chieftains of the tribe. One very important thing that the Zohar says about it, why do we need to describe again and again almost the same words, the same letter, each description of every head of a tribe? It's almost not exactly the same. Why is that important? There are lots of discussions about it. An amazing discussion at the end of the Zohar Parashat Naso. Zohar Parashat Naso verse 198 in Perusha Sulam. One ninety seven. It starts. What does it mean? Nasi echad layom. The heads of the tribes, they brought the offerings, each one of them, in another day. From the Mishkan was established on the first day of Nisan, so they brought that for 12 consecutive days. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said again, verse 197, the Sulam commentary. The Elu hem hayamim shelemala. These days are days of the above. Shenitchanchu leitbarech. They were dedicated for the blessing. And these are connected to Shem Elu Yudbet Gvulin. It's connected, as we spoke about it last week, to the 12. If you look at the Shoshanat Aruchot, that you know, in a compass, you have north, south, east, and west, and you have it's connected, it's divided into 12 different sections. These 12 different sections is Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four letters of the name of God. Each one of them is divided to or the four elements, and each one is divided to right, left, and center. Together, you have the minimum 12 directions, 12 frequencies, 12 types of human behavior, and so on and so forth. But it's also those 12, when they come together, these are the 13 attributes. When we come at one. And when they bring all of those, because each one of them, when they brought his offering, he established, says the Zohar, Kol nasi hayam metaken yom echad, he established one day, one channel, one connection to the light of one zodiac sign. Lamadnu kulam mitbarchim bishvil mizbeach shel mala. Now all the 12 signs of the zodiac, all the 13 attributes, which is 12, and when they're becoming one, it's a 13th. Echad, one, okay. Echad in Hebrew, one, is also the numerical value 13, okay. And also Ahava, love, unity. And when that happened, they created something that stayed forever till these days. They established the ability to connect to the divine beyond the physical of the different 12 signs. And the whole world, the whole physical world, is being blessed by the offerings of the 12 heads of the tribes. And the whole world means also the 17 nations of the world. What's relevant it is to us, Amar Rabbi Shimon, verse 198. שלמדנו אמר רבי שמעון אם לא היו מקריבים אלו י"ב נשיאים לא יכול העולם לעמוד לפני י"ב נשיאי ישמעאל. When we talk about the 12 chieftains, heads, in Hebrew, נשיא, נשיא, translated today as president, but נשיא, נשוא, you hear the sound, it's the same שורש, נון, סין, אלף, like נשוא. The person who's raised above the people, he is called Nasi, the one that is raised above. He has the job to guide and lead the nation. So the two sets of 12 Nesi'im, 12 Nesi'im of the 12 tribes, and also we find that Ishmael had also 12 Nesi'im in Genesis. Esav did not have 12 Nesi'im, he had 12, 12 generals, okay, 12 warriors. So what about that? The Zohar says the 12 Nesi'im of Ishmael, okay, they will try to take over the whole world. However, when the 12 Nesi'im of Israel brought their offerings and made sure that the 12 channels of light established in the first 12 days of Nisan, which Nisan is ruled by planet Mars, the planet of wars, that 33 centuries ago made sure that when the 12 Nesi'im of Ishmael will try to take over the whole planet, they will never be able to achieve that. Nitla Hashlita Mikulam. Mishum ze nasi echad layom. Okay, which means we are back to the war of civilizations that we are facing, witnessing nowadays. We see how the Ishmael is on the rise with a very clear statement to take over the world, either through war of the sword or other weapons, or through simply taking over by settling all over the world. Many, many big cities in Europe are already big crowd are is Arab or Muslim. So with a very, very strong purpose, focal point, which is to take over. Here the Zohar is saying it won't happen. Okay, wait and see. Now, what do we get out of this parasha? Because here the parasha is talking about the end of days. So now let's go to the beginning. So, and the Zohar in the beginning is we go to verse number 9, and the Zohar is asking, why do we start with the Levites and not with the Kohanim? The Kohanim should come first, which means Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the Kohanim, which is also we have in the Birkat Kohanim again the verb naso, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseh lecha shalom. That's the third verse. God will raise again from the Shoresh naso. The same word repeats again. Why that's not in the beginning? And here, whoever studied the Zohar about Shavuot in the entrance of the Zohar would immediately understand what we're saying over here. So let us read from Zohar Perusha Sulam, verse 9. And it says as follows: מבין 30 שנה ומעלה ועד בין 50 שנה כל הבא לעבוד עבודת עבודה ועבודת מסה באוהל מועד. פקודה דה, להיות הלוויים משוררים במקדש. It's a mitzvah that the Levites will be singing in the temple. ואף על גב, דאוקימנה לעילה, הכה צריך לחדש מילין. Or we explained it before, but now we need to make a new commentary that belongs to this parasha, to this time of the year, the week of Parashat Naso. Deha kohen inu iu makriv korbana, viu Michael Levi iu Gabriel iu tzarich leinagna. The kohen has to be the one who brings the offering. And the Levite is the one who should sing and play the music. That's how it was in the temple. And now, but the Zohar is saying the Kohen is Archangel Michael, Michael, and the Levite is the Archangel Gabriel, Gabriel. Verazad Mila, and the secret of this thing, Yomam Yetzave Adonai Chasdo. This is a Psalms 42. God will order his grace, chesed, daily. What does that mean? Da chesed kana rabba de Michael yu kohen etiot legabei marei, im kol da de etiot yu etzel marei, melech de chayot hakodesh yu, virkat etiot al ti kala beinecha, vai yu yomam yitzave Adonai chasdo. Okay, the first thing is, kohen, which is Michael, Archangel Michael, Michael, Chesed, right column, giving, loving, kindness, and so on, that God is sending his Chesed daily. However, the night before, Uvalaila Shiro Imi, the verse goes, God is sending his Chesed daily, and during the night he's sending his singing. And this is kind of a riddle. What does it mean? If we are talking about day as chesed, and there was a night, there was a day, okay, one day in the creation, we're talking about right and left, chesed and gevurah. Loving kindness, chesed, gevurah is judgment. So we're talking about uniting these two opposites. While the night is Gevurah, and that's why it says Shiro, the singing, the Levites, they were singing. What do you need for singing? And the singing of the temple, it looks like you need the fire of judgment. And again, the word Gevurah, Gevurah means overcoming. The fire of excitement. Hitlahavut. Hitlahavut comes from the Hebrew word lahav, fire, a flame. Okay? So when we are talking about the night, we are talking about the Levite. The Levite had to have the flame of excitement, which we learned that the music in the temple was exciting. It was not a sad, melancholic music. It was an exciting music. And that was the purpose of the Levites. They had to be the one who turned on the flame of excitement. That flame of excitement will burn the offering, and then the offering can go up to heaven, because what's the direction of the flame? Upwards. So, and then it says something else, because Shiro, song, singing, is we're talking about excitement, the singing of the Levites. That's the word Shira. And we know also that corresponding to the Levite judgment, left column, we have the ox. How do you say ox in Hebrew? Shor. And the Zohar says Shor and Shira. Singing, shor is an ox, shir is a song. Okay, shira is singing. So we can hear the similarity in the sound, which means the singing should be with fire, a good fire. Because when you're singing a happy song, you are healing. You are healing. Try that. You feel sick. Put happy songs, happy music, and dance. You will heal much farther. Faster. That's why we have medicinal clowns today, because people started to realize that singing, whoever knows the work of Norman Cousins, who healed himself through laughter, and from that you have laughing yoga as a result. That was done in Beit HaMikdash. But I come to the temple, to Beit HaMikdash, to repent. That should be said, no, That should be with excitement and happiness. That's how you repent. So here it explains that the night comes first. What does it mean? When we understand humanity, first of all, what comes first? The night. And there was a night, there was a day. First comes left column. First comes the judgment. First comes the problem. First comes the challenge and the hardship. And then we have to apply chesed. What is chesed? The Kohen. What is the Kohen? The vision of God's love, Archangel Michael. The chesed is the lion, the flame over the offerings looked like a lion, and it was called Ariel. Ariel is the lion, angel. So all of that is that basically what is the calling of every human being? That's what Parashat Nasso is teaching us. You have to raise your head because you have a calling. Why do we start with the Levites and then we go to the Kohanim? First, life is always starting with the challenging, with the hardship. If you overcome the hardship and the challenging with love, happiness, and grace, and giving, and sharing, right column, when you overlay, oh, that's about to overcome the judgment with excitement that is coming from love, faith, and connection to God. This is our job. And this is essential for our existence. And that's why the Zohar is talking about teshuvah, and especially the teshuvah of the end of days. What does the Zohar have to say about this end of days? And the Zohar, I'm going right now to verse 24. Patach Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak opened and said, and he's quoting, "Batzar lecha u'metzarucha kol ha'dvarim ha'eleh." When you'll be in trouble, and all what's described in the Torah will find you, hit you, plague you, hurt you, challenge you. And this is a Deuteronomy 4:30. When you feel so much in trouble, so confined, then what is the Torah saying? Veshavta, and then you should return. Return. It doesn't say repent, it says to return. The word teshuva is returning. Veshavta, and you will return to the God, your Lord. And from here we learned that in these days of the end of days, when everything is so stressful and hard, the only way to solve the problem or to deal with the ongoing strife, confusion, trouble we see around is returning to God. That's the only healing that we have. What is the connection? Return to God. Look at the economy. Look at the crazy politics, inner politics, international politics. Everything looks like everybody simply went insane. You can't find any sane, normal leader. All of them are crazy, should be in an asylum, right? Because the way they talk, the way they, their opinions, the way they're trying to, they're simply crazy one by one. No one is sane over here. The whole thing, what's going on the streets and demonstrations and ideas and the whole ideas you find about the people running for office. It doesn't matter where, it is so insane that you feel lost, stressed out. A lot of people, they just go sick just from watching the news or reading them. Because everything looks from day to day, it looks more hopeless. And that's what the Torah is telling us. This is the insanity of the end of days. We are simply experiencing right now. We are right in the midst of what is called the end of days. And the only way, the Zohar says, to get out of it is to return to God. Why? You have no other choice. The other choice is so much pain. You have to turn to God. And the judgment is settling, as the Zohar says, Beterem sheyishreh adin ba'olam. All the judgment is settling over the planet. And we have to understand, after the judgment takes over, he's finishing you. Don't let the judgment to take over you. Who can remove that judgment? So the person should make teshuva. And when a person is doing teshuva, I'm reading verse 24 in the Zohar of Nasso, Metaken kol ha'olamot. When a person is doing teshuva, when he's returning back to God, he's simply focusing on reconnecting to his creator without noticing the noise all over around. When you do that, something very important.
How are you doing? We're ready.
So the Zohar is saying, "Shadam achar shenishlam adin ve'asa tshuva." When a person simply completed the judgment, which means brought the judgment into rest. How? When you bring the chesed to overcome the judgment, instead of going nuts and crazy, when everything is stressful, do something good for others. You don't feel restful anymore? Not yet. Do more chesed and more chesed till you will feel the rest, the completion. Shalom. Shalom comes from the word completion, right, left, and center. That's why the blessing of the Kohanim, that's three of them, right, left, and center. Kohen Levi Israel, Chesed Gevurah Tiferet. This is the only way to deal with the ailments of our society, whatever we're going through all around us. When we do teshuva, metaken kol ha'olamot, you are correcting, fixing all the worlds above and below, which means, Naso, you have a duty. Each one of us is a double creature, as we learn in Parashat Chayei Sarah. We live a double life. We have a spiritual, metaphysical, divine life, our soul, and we have a physical life. And our job is to unite the two worlds together. And by doing that, we do the tikkun olam. We are correcting the world. You know, some people say it's very common, like among Jews, tikkun olam. Tikkun olam, which means we go to Africa and we dig wells so people have water to drink. In villages, they have no access to pure water. That's not tikkun olam. Oh, that's very nice. It's a good deed, but that's not tikkun olam. Tikkun olam is when you unite the upper and the lower worlds together, when you unite the soul and the body, when you inject spirituality into every aspect in your life. Either it's your job, it's your hobbies, it's your family, it's your sustenance. If you're not connecting the spiritual, the metaphysical, the godliness into the actions that you're doing, that's a good deed, but it's not a mitzvah. A mitzvah is a deed that is uniting the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And that's what teshuvah is about. Teshuvah is about not, oh, I was a bad person, I'll be a good person. That's not teshuvah. By the way, where are you going to get the power to overcome your evil inclination? You need to connect to God's light. What is the main disease of humanity today? This is the disease that we think that through our own brain, we can create a perfect society. No, we can't. Look around. It's getting only worse. For the last 200 years, since humanism has started, when humans thought if we just behave in a common sense by rules of justice and equality. But you know, even Thomas Jefferson, when he participated in writing the American Constitution, and he said, the American Constitution is a beautiful divine, it is a divine, it's a beautiful genius text that many people got together to write the most just and balanced constitution. But it was written only for people who believe in God. Because if you don't believe in God, the most beautiful, just constitution in the world won't help you. You always find a way out, and you're going to become like, you can find it all over the world, judges and policemen and people of law. They take the law and they use the law for the greatest injustices. Why? They have no God in their hearts. You can't have a right, a constitution, legal system, any kind of society that can overcome the human evil inclination without God in the picture. And that's what it says, and you should return to the Lord your God. Ki el rachum Hashem Elokecha, because God is a merciful God. Baharit Yamim, verse 25. What does it mean in the end of days? And he says, because in the end of days, after the long exile, there will be lots of troubles. And that's when the judgment will take control over the world. Why? The only way that the people of Israel will really return is out of trouble. If everything is nice and comfortable and peaceful, people do not do teshuva. They don't have need to for God. When is it we have a need for God? When everything is painful, when everything is abusive, when everything is perplexing and confusing. But you need to be, what's the word? Shachote moser nafsho elea, kafav. Only when the sinner has a devotion to give his soul to the Shekhinah, to the divine presence, only then it is considered to be teshuva. And by the way, if you, we all know it's almost impossible to change our ways of behavior. Only when you have great faith and epiphany and divinity, only then we can overcome and change our habits and nature. That's a very important message for our days. There are many of them in this parasha. We'll skip to another one. Amazing verse that is speaking about the tikkun olam that we said, still in the same article of Teshuvah, that if you have the Zohar with the English translation, you should simply read the whole article from the beginning, what we just read. And this article is starting in the Sulam commentary, verse 22. And that's why the Torah speaks about teshuva, about correction. And he says like this, Kol yom yesh lo gader mibachutz. Every day, we spoke about the day, there's a chesed that God injects to the world, and we need to use that chesed to overcome the judgment, right? Now it's being more specific. V'chol yom yesh lo gader mibachutz. Every day is a creation of itself. And the Arizal is saying there are no 2 days who are identical from the creation till the end of the create of time. Why? Every day is a different frequency, another light to be revealed. But every day, if you look at the day as an entity, and the Zohar looks at it as an entity, why? In the end of the day, when you go to sleep, it's like when somebody closes a day in the store and you have to make a summary, you close the cash register and make a summary of the day, the income and the and all the expenses. When a person goes to sleep, it's like closing the register. And then the Zohar says, if you really dedicated yourself for tikkun olam, for correcting all the negative and overpowering the negative with chesed, with love and kindness, and you created an angel that stays with your soul forever till the end of days. You never lose that soul, that angel. This angel is made of the positive light that you revealed on that day. But there's a fence outside that day. What do I mean there's a fence outside the day? Shelo kol adam yuchal lichnos latova u'shebo. Every day has goodness. Vayar Elokim et ha'or ki tov. Every vayar vayboker yom. Okay, and God saw that it was good every day. The good of that day, every day we wake up in the morning, there's a good. But there's a fence. You cannot access that good, says the Zohar. Danu, there's a darkness covering the light of that day. If you wake up to a day and there's no challenge, there's no obstacle, there's no darkness, so you did not find the day because you didn't find the fence of that day yet. When you find the obstacle and the hardship, you got the day because that's the fence of that day. Now you have to cross the fence. If everything is nice and pleasant during the day, you didn't find that day. You're just in an elusive day. You're just living in a wannabe, one, you know. You want to think that it's a great day. No, it's not. You didn't get that day yet. You live in an illusion of a nice day. It's not. V'chein b'chol yom timatzeh shmirah. Every day there's a guardian. So you cannot access the real good light of that day. You have to earn it. You have to find the fence. You have to fight the negative, the darkness, the bitterness, and overcome that judgment with love, belief system, belief, happiness, faith, and devotion to connect to godliness. When you do that, you cross the fence. You are being welcomed into that goodness of that day. Like the earth, outside the vineyard, to guard the vineyard, you have all kinds of thistles and thorns and whatever, so animals won't get into the vineyard to eat the grapes. So, and of course, nobody can raid the vineyard. Ve'yashomrim, and also guardians to the vineyard. And these are snakes and scorpions and seraphim. Seraphim is angels of flame. It's a Hebrew word, seraphim. Soref means burning. Sheshomrim atovo, and they are there to guard all that goodness, so it won't be simply stolen. If there were no guardians, then all the wicked can rob the secrets of the Torah. Whoever is trying to rob the secrets of the Torah, all of those guardians will get him so much confused, he won't find the garden, he won't find the grapes, he won't be able to eat them. Aval mishuto, but every person that is good, which means he consciously takes the job to get the good to overcome the evil. Those guardians are now listening to his command. and they help him into the garden. And they bring him, ומביאים אותו לטוב הגנוז, they lead him to the treasured goodness. ויאמרו, and they will say to that treasured goodness, אדוננו, הרי איש טוב וצדיק ירא שמיים רוצה לקנוס לפניך. Our master, there's a righteous person who wants to come in and enjoy your goodness. And he will answer, פיתחו לי שערי צדק עבור בם אודיה. Open for me the gates of justice. This is from Psalms 118. Open the gates of justice, and every righteous person can walk in and enjoy rightfully the goodness of the garden. That gate is called Teshuvah. Teshuvah does not mean that I'm, oh God, I don't deserve anything, and from now on I'm going to eat just like just like dried bread and drink just water because I have to punish myself. No, that's not Teshuvah. That's not repentance. Teshuvah is when you overcome the judgment and the negativity with chesed, with loving kindness, with that balance that the Kohen overcomes the Levi. And then the excitement is not for vicious goals or selfish goals. The excitement is for revealing God's light. That can happen only when there is this convergence, synthesis between right and left, Kohen and Levi. And that's Kohen, Levi, Israel, initials Kli, the vessel for everything that is good. Therefore, the blessings of the Kohen are also three blessings, right, left, and center. And then the gates open up. And when you access on that day to the goodness of that day because of your righteous actions, then it becomes, at the end of the day, that revelation becomes an angel that stays with your soul till the end of days. However, if you don't overcome the judgment and the negativity and the selfishness and the flame of sin, being excited about sinning, being excited about hurting other people, what is called anger, hatred, whatever, in the end of the day, it becomes a bad angel. And that bad angel works with you till you do teshuvah and you convert that bad angel into a good angel. And that's what teshuvah is about. It's not, oh, I made a mistake. What can I do? I'm doomed. No. Do teshuvah, and you can, and that's what this parasha is talking about. So what's the story about the sota? The sota, the woman that her husband was very zealous and jealous about her. And the Zohar continues with something that is also very, very relevant. And the Zohar says the story of the sota is a story of us today. And he said, it's the same story of when the Israelites, just after crossing the Red Sea, and they're such an epiphany and divinity, and they don't want to go anywhere. And finally, they have to go to the desert because they, you know, we have a meeting with God on Mount Sinai 6 weeks from now, because that was after 1 week already, after the Exodus. So, and then after the leaving the Red Sea, and then we have no water, and we find Mara means the bitter place. Why? Because there were water over there, spring, but they were bitter, and everybody cries and everybody's upset. It's just a few days after the splitting of the Red Sea. God save you. Some patience, trust. No, there's no water. We're all going to die first in the desert. Let's go back to Egypt. Hey, is this anti-Semitic text, or it just tells us our nature? We can witness an amazing miracle that we know. This is not coincidence. This is the act of God. It's so clear, so obvious when we see that. And then I'll always trust God. I have faith. Few days later, sometimes a few hours later, and we have our chip, and we do not take responsibility for tikkun olam to correct that negativity. So what happens? You fall into the noise, into the bitterness, and then you blame everybody else. That's one of the major immediate symptoms that the evil inclination took over me, that I blame everybody else. Just not taking responsibility because, as we learned many, many times, freedom on the tablets. Repentance, divinity, it's all about taking responsibility. The moment you don't want to take responsibility for your job, it's bitter, make it sweet. Don't wait for somebody else to make it sweet for you. It will not happen. Take responsibility. If you do that, then you can have sweet water, fresh water. In Hebrew, fresh water is sweet water, maim metukim, that are drinkable. Okay, drinking water. In Hebrew, you say maim metukim, sweet water. Why? Because ocean water, sea water, all kinds of other, like brine water, it's called bitter. So that's an analogy. When the water are bitter, sweeten them up. How? Vayoreh Hashem etz, and God showed him a tree. A tree? The tree of life. When you overcome the negativity, when we transform by faith and devotion, teshuvah, then everything becomes sweet. Okay, in the same way, the Zohar continues verse 86. When the nation of Israel, they simply betray the Torah, God puts them in exile. Either the exile of Esav, which is the Western world, or the exile of Ishmael, which is the Muslim world. Under their occupation and subjugation, and they're being judged over there. And in these two exiles, and if you see even till today, most of the Jews all around along history were under either Ishmaelites or Christian nations. And over there, they will be refined, and like the gold and silver are being refined in the iron furnace through very high temperatures and pressure. That's how you're being refined. And how can you get out of it? That's exactly like in this parasha. When you connect to the tree of life, then you could taste the sweet water, which means the sweet, this good side of everything. Now, uvizman sha'erev rav hayu machtim et Yisrael, but even among the Israelites, there are erev rav. Erev rav, those are souls of, like, they were souls that were the same source of souls of all the Israelites in Egypt. However, they did not go through the refinement of the iron furnace, which means they were not enslaved in Egypt. They were the sorcerers, the wizards of Egypt. Their souls came from the same source as the Israelites, but they did not go through the refinement. And therefore, they stayed in their negativity. Although they joined the Israelites as the Israelites left Egypt, they always, what from the evil side. And what do? They will, machtim et Israel, they will always get the nation of Israel into sinning. So they say, the Zohar says, verse 89, with the woman that betrayed her husband or had the suspicion that she betrayed her husband. Now she got to drink the water, the holy water, with the name of God written backwards on in the parchment inside the water. If she betrayed her husband, which means she betrayed God, she will swell and everybody will see that. Okay? And that will be shame, not just shame, ostracizing, whatever, because everybody will know that she betrayed her husband. Something you don't do. Okay? However, if she did not betray, she would get the seed and she would. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? So the same water had a different effect depends on the person itself. And the Zohar says, Ke'en zeh ya'aseh le'netzot Yisrael be'geulah achronah. The same thing will happen. Like the water of the Sotah will be this similar effect in the end of days. How? The pressure, the noise, the hardship will be so intense in the last days of the last redemption, that either you will see people that are being purified and cleansed by teshuva, returning to God, connecting to God, because the pressure will help them transform and they will be purified and they will simply. Omdim b'nisyon, that's the word. They will simply go through the test and come out pure. The same time, there will people be people that the more pressure, the more evil they will become, the more negative they will become. And they will never be able to settle properly on the land of Israel. And then one of the most famous verses in the Zohar, verse 90, V'az v'maskilim yavino. That's the opening verse of the Zohar, v'maskilim yavino, and the people with brains, with wisdom, will understand. That's from the book of Daniel, chapter 12. When they will shine like the splendor of the heavens, yazhiru kezohar. That's why the Zohar is called with this name. And then Moses is telling Rabbi Shimon, b'chibur hazeh shelcha, with this book of yours, shel Rashbi, shu sefer Zohar, the book of splendor of Zohar, which is mizohar shel ima ela, it's a splendor that is coming from the upper world, that is called teshuvah, shenikret teshuvah, elu lo tzachim nisayon, which means learning the Zohar, applying the Zohar, and the spirituality in the Zohar will make us pure enough without suffering too much. And that's why this Zohar is so important. Yetzu'u bo min hagalut b'rachamim, they will leave the exile with mercy. However, if you're not connected to the Zohar and to the spirituality, and you're totally materialistic, the pressure will simply burn you up. And put you in shame, like the Sota, the woman. If she was pure, she will just get better. If she was not pure, she'll be shame, everybody will see. And today it's very simple. You look around. If you're really connected to the Zohar and its spirituality, you're excited because all the confusion outside is just giving you more excitement about doing your job. Tikkun olam. Naso et rosh. Raise your head because you realize your duty to bring the positivity and spirituality wherever you go. It's work, family, wherever. You have a calling and you follow that calling. This is so important, so essential. However, if you're busy being materialistic and selfish, like the religion of today's society, then like the Sota, The woman who betrayed, you'll swell, you'll be so, every pressure will make you even worse. And everybody could see you, that you are so much obsessed with how evil everything is, and you simply won't be able to cross the fence and reach the good that is available for you daily. Thank you so much. And let us take this message and this calling for every day of the whole year. Toda rabah. Thank you so much.